Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Treat her like a lady. Hey.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Oh, yeah. Brown Liquor Music Hour kicking off. Little Temptations. Little late school Temptations, by the way. Treat her like a lady. You know how we do it on Friday night? We get the beat going a little bit, man. We get it up-tempo a little bit more. You know, we don't do as much love songs on a Friday night. It's party time. And weekend's here. It's time to get it going. So, Jahi's got all the music tonight. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with us that way, we stream online at 929thegame.com. You can download our radio.com app. That way you catch us on the go and on the move. Social media for the station, all of it is at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All the platforms there for you. The best way to follow along with this particular show through my personal Twitter handle. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. As we said, Jahi behind the glass tonight. He'll be with me tonight. We'll be back on Tuesday night with you. Don't forget, Hugh Douglas and I, from right after the basketball game, Wisconsin and Michigan State will be on probably about 3 o'clock. So we'll be on from 3 to 5 tomorrow afternoon, off Monday for Hawks, and then back at it Tuesday. Jahi and I will be back together. But now it's time to get to our college football roundup.
Time for the College Football Roundup. A complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So, one of their own is coming back to the U. Recently, Pro Football Hall of Famer Ed Reed is coming back to the Miami Hurricanes. He's been hired as the Chief of Staff. I thought that was only in the government, but nope. There's a Chief of Staff for the Hurricanes football program. So, as soon as a standard background check gets through, he will be on board. According to head coach Manny Diaz, Reed will be tasked with helping him in, quote-unquote, in all aspects of the football program, including strategic planning, quality control, operations, player evaluation, and player development. Says that his duties will also include team building, student-athlete mentorship. I can't believe I read the word student-athlete. And as much recruiting as is allowed under NCAA rules. Diaz said, we're thrilled to welcome Ed back to Coral Gables. He's not only one of the most decorated players in Miami football history, but also a devoted Cane who cares deeply about this program. All of our players, coaches, and staff will be fortunate to tap into his experience, knowledge, and passion on a regular basis. So, obviously, you know, trying to get guys back home, you know, they want to try to recapture some of that magic from the old days. I don't know. I mean, I saw where, what's his name, Jaron Smith, the quarterback, is entered in the transfer portal. So, you know, they're going to have some changes down there at quarterback. So, you know, they were one of the most disappointing teams in the country. Certainly the most disappointing ACC team that was out there, but definitely one of the most disappointing teams in all of collegiate football last year. Obviously, a not very good performance in their bowl game as well. So, you know, you try to bring back some of the old guard and see if that resonates, you know. And I hate to say it like this, you know, you wonder how many of these younger kids really resonate even with Ed Reed. I mean, not like Ed Reed has been out of the game that long, but, you know, it's just the reality of the situation of these things that sometimes these guys, you know, they don't have the perspective you know, some of the greats that came up before them. Losing to Louisiana Tech, by the way, 14-0 in that game. That was kind of just another one of the disasters. So, listen, it can't hurt anytime you can bring some of your own back and get them involved in the program is usually a good thing. So, starting defensive end for Clemson, Logan Rudolph, has announced that he is retiring from football. He's giving up football altogether. He posted the announcement on his social media page, okay? And he'll leave the school, says he's going to give up football, and will leave the school once he graduates in May, okay? So you remember him, number 34. He played a lot of different spots for this team. Started 9 of the 15 games in 2019. Had a sack, 5 tackles for loss, 26 total tackles in all. Was only a redshirt sophomore, by the way, so if this tells you that, you know, how quickly he's gotten his degree and everything like that. And they say the reason he's leaving, it's not because of concussions and things like that. Reason he's leaving is, according to sources, quote, he eventually plans to move to California to chase his dream of becoming an actor. Okay. I mean, listen, he was certainly a guy that they were going to count on to come back and be a part of what they got going on at Clemson, coming off their national title game appearance. But, listen, man, if you've got a dream like that, man, go for it. I tell you guys all the time, and gals all the time, and kids, and anybody who's up listening right now, I tell you all the time, I live my dream. This is my passion right here. Very few people get a chance to do what they're really passionate about. This is one of them. You know, I love sports. I love to entertain. I love to make you laugh. I love to make you think. I love to debate. You know, this is my perfect format. I'm not interested in play-by-play and color analysis and things like that, you know, on games and all that kind of stuff. I love this format of it. I like coming on here and putting my opinion out there and expressing my fandom, you know, and giving you what I think. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, put it out there and let you consume all of it. So good for him. I mean, if football is not his passion the way that acting is, and give the kid credit, redshirt sophomore, and he's graduating from college already. So, you know, obviously he's busted himself up to put in the work and try to get all that done. Good for him. I mean, that's go live the American dream, brother. You know, go live the American dream with all of it. Speaking of Clemson, Chase Bryce, remember him? He was out of, was it Loganville or Grayson High School? I want to say it was Grayson. Maybe it was Loganville that he was out of. Of course, remember him? He was in that game against Syracuse that they almost lost, a couple of years ago. He has entered the transfer portal, as you may or may not have known. But he does have his first visit scheduled. He's going to go visit Duke's campus. So there was some speculation about would he go to USF. Who's coached by Jeff Scott, who's a former Clemson football assistant. Some people thought maybe he'd come home. But as of right now, Duke is going to be his first visit that he's going to make. So if you're trying to become a better quarterback, there are a few places in the country where you're going to get better taught than going to Duke University and playing for David Cutcliffe, because he's as good as it is. And, of course, you don't know who David Cutcliffe is. That's the man who coached Peyton Manning as quarterback's coach when he was at Tennessee, offense coordinator there. And then also, too, obviously he coached Eli Manning as well, his brother, when he was down at Old Miss. And then Daniel Jones at Duke. So he certainly had his hands on a lot of big-name guys and guys that you see in the NFL, you know, even in today's game out there. So doesn't say for sure that he's going to that's where he's deciding to go. But again, if you're trying to become a much better quarterback, that's a perfect landing spot. And then we have my favorite story of the day in the world of college football, as the Southeastern Conference, and I love when these stories, you know, come out. Southeastern Conference released their revenues for the fiscal year of 2018-2019. So the fiscal year ended on August 31st, 2019. So when you're talking about revenues, they do it in a fiscal calendar. September 1st of 1 year to August 31st of the next year, okay? The total payouts that the SEC handed out, I want to make sure we get this number, you know, out there, okay? Total payouts by the SEC, just over $651 million. That comes out to more than $44.6 million per school. That is up last fiscal year They pulled in $627 million. Sorry, $627.1 million. So an additional, you know, about $1.5 million per school that they all got this year. It says it includes $624.2 million distributed from the conference office, as well as $26.8 million. The school's kept to offset travel and other related bowl expenses. So this is television, postseason, college football playoff, SEC title game, men's basketball tournament, any NCAA championship, and they say also a supplemental surplus distribution. And then, of course, the NCAA itself kicks in money because it's a nonprofit organization, so it has to disperse money to schools as well. Just about $45 million per school. Okay? By the way, that does not count their home games and basketball and football and everything else. This is just what the SEC controls. Tournaments, TV, things like that.
Well, how are you going to pay the player?
Okay. All right. Okay. Not a problem. Anyway, when we get back, Arthur Blank had some comments about Austin Hooper. Did he call him a Falcon for life? I don't know. We'll find out next. Chuck in the Key Studios. Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the Key Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Rolling through the Brown Liquor Music Hour, 404-741-0929 is our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Give me a follow on Twitter. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Well, we know Arthur Blank loves to throw out that term to players about being a Falcon for life. We heard it about Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones, you know, among others. So the Falcons have a couple of important, maybe not as important free agents coming up as, say, you know what Grady Jarrett was or trying to get Julio or whatever like that. But Austin Hooper and Devondre Campbell, the two big in-house free agents that the Falcons have to decide on what they're going to do with this year. As he makes his rounds all through the Super Bowl, Arthur Blank was asked about if the team planned to make Hooper a quote-unquote Falcon for life, and that's become his catchphrase, as we know. Blank told ESPN, quote, "I think he's a young, ascending player, and he has performed at a very high level for us. I think he's worthy, certainly of a new contract based on market. Whether that fits in with us and our salary cap remains to be seen. I will tell you, with all of our free agents, Thomas Dimitrov, and the personnel staff have spoken to agents and understand the direction of where things are going. We've made it clear that we're making more final decisions after the Super Bowl." So not exactly, as glowing of an endorsement as what we've heard about other Falcons out there. And, you know, we heard Austin Hooper from the Pro Bowl as well, talking about, you know, "I'll be waiting for the Falcons to make me an offer" and all that. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, I've said I think that the Falcons are going to have to basically pick or choose between Campbell and Hooper. I don't think they're going to be able to sign both of them. I don't think they're going to be able to sign both guys. So I think you end up having to pick one or the other, because some team is going to come and swoop one of those guys up and probably overpay them because of their youthfulness and you know, potential productivity. I think the Falcons, if they could pick, would probably keep Hooper over Devondre Campbell, not because of one's a better player than the other. But listen, we've talked about this, that they are still an offensive-first team. They're still an offense-first team, and when you talk about what the Atlanta Falcons are, they want to keep as many weapons around as they possibly can. And Austin Hooper is a definite part of that offense that he's grown into. Now, my problems with Austin Hooper are the fact that I think he's kind of a one-dimensional player. I don't think he does a lot of other things besides just catch a football, which is obviously a very important skill when you're talking about tight end. But there are other things you would like to see your tight end be able to do that I don't think he does as well. But he certainly has been very productive in this offense. His numbers have climbed every single year out here, and he's definitely become a guy that Matt Ryan has had some trust and faith in. Now, that being said, I'm all for the idea of bringing back Austin Hooper, but I'm not breaking the bank to bring back Austin Hooper. And it doesn't sound like Arthur is looking at breaking the bank either on them. You know, whether they're going to try to get some big-name free agent as a pass rusher, which there aren't as many great choices, whether they're going to use their draft capital to get themselves higher up in the draft or what have you, I don't know. I think it would be a lot easier to try to sign the known commodity of Austin Hooper to fill in the tight end spot just from, you know, for a guy that preaches continuity and things like that. He would make a lot of sense. But I'm not willing to give him that $8 or $10 million a year that he may be seeking. And don't get it twisted. Neither Campbell nor Hooper are giving the Atlanta Falcons any kind of hometown discount. This is what you play the game for. This is the time where you cash in on what you've done the first 4 years of your contract. You know, you don't get the huge signing bonuses anymore. It's getting to that second contract, that first free agent contract. That's where Hooper is. Austin Hooper already has basically outlived what the average NFL player, you know, is in that league. So you figure you try to collect and grab as much of the money as you can. I'm not telling you winning's not important. I'm not telling you that playing for the Falcons isn't important and things like that. But this is your one big chance to cash in, honestly. You know, this is where you, this is the contract where you make the biggest chunk of your career money, you know, is in this sweet spot when you get from years 5, 6, 7, and 8. Because in the NFL, guys come and go all the time. Nothing's guaranteed to you. Injury takes guys out. You capitalize on that right now. That's what Campbell and Hooper are going to do right now. So they're not going to give anybody any kind of hometown discount. They're going to get as much market value. And to be honest with you, like this or not, their agents have their chance to make their bulk of their money, you know, as well. This is what agents live for. Give me guys that outproduce their contract and let me get them to free agency and see what their wares are and peddle that off, because some team is going to have a lot of money that they want to overpay a guy for. So I'm not going to tell you that I would guarantee that either of these guys comes back. I do feel like, just a gut feeling, no specific data or anything to back it up, but I do feel like Austin Hooper is the more likely of the two guys to decide to come back. But I can tell you, if we're talking about $10 million a year, I'm probably not as much in that league for Austin Hooper. At that point, I'm probably looking at going to get a veteran, maybe draft another rookie to put in the mix. But I'm not in the $10 million for a tight end. Especially when you talk about a team that is desperately in need. And we talked about Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. A team that's desperately in need of a guy who can sack the quarterback. Now, I think they're going to address that through the draft. I think that's where pick number 16 or wherever they end up picking is going to be. And I truthfully think they're not going to pick at 16. I think they're going to move themselves up in the draft. I really do. I think that they're going to move up. That's Thomas Dimitrov's nature, is to move up in the draft. So I think that that's where they're going to end up being out there. Arthur, went on to talk about Austin Hooper a little bit more. He said, I think he's a great receiving tight end. He plays hard. He plays well. He plays under pressure well. He doesn't normally get injured, although this year we lost him for 3 games. He's been a consistent performer for us since we drafted him. He's a smart player, which is what you expect coming out of Stanford out there. So I know they like Hooper. When you get guys that you develop, you know, you want to try to keep them around as long as you can. Reality tells you in today's NFL world, it's impossible to keep everybody around. You know, think about how different the Legion of Boom is now. You know, Richard Sherman's no longer in Seattle. Cam Chancellor no longer in Seattle. Earl Thomas no longer in Seattle. You know, guys come in there and they get their run and they move on from all that. Who was the second cornerback that they had that played the opposite Sherman? He left. I think he was the first one of the four guys to go. So it happens all the time that guys are going to move on and guys are going to go to greener pastures and stuff. Just the nature of the beast. So you keep them around for as long as you can, but you also can't be too short-sighted and say, because I really like this guy, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to overpay him for it. So read into the tea leaves what you will about the fact that Arthur didn't automatically throw out the whole, you know, hey, he's going to be, if we want Austin Hooper to be a Falcon for life. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to think that let me put it this way. There should be nothing to tie into the comments Austin Hooper made. I know some people thought they were kind of smart, snarky and all that kind of stuff. I think he was just asked a question and he answered it. And he answered it in the way that Austin Hooper answers questions out there. So I didn't really read too much into his particular answer on all that kind of stuff. He's a free agent. He's about to cash in. Like I said, this is what you play the game for. This is the point at which when you're trying to get into, you know, your big money years, you lived your first 4 years. You're still healthy enough to keep playing so you can collect more checks. And you've gotten through that rookie deal that honestly doesn't pay you a whole lot. Especially if you're talking about, you know, a third or fourth or fifth round pick, you know, and you've outplayed your contract. Now you want to cash in. And you want to cash in for every single cent and dollar that you can possibly get out of it. So I don't blame him one bit. I don't have any issue with Austin Hooper saying what he said. I don't have any issue with him trying to go money grab. Because that's what you got to do in this league. But I do think he's going to be a top priority. I do think he is their in-house guys. I think Austin Hooper is their top guys. But say what you will, they've found guys like Jacob Tammy, who gave them a lot of contributions. You know, Tammy got hurt, about a month or so before the playoffs started, for the Falcons in the Super Bowl, year. And Austin Hooper had to take up a little bit bigger load, by all of it. To me, Austin Hooper is also too, I don't want to say he's not an irreplaceable player by any means. But it is tough to find guys that are that productive at tight end for you. And if you have a guy who has been as productive and it seems like he's getting better at least, you know, it seems like the drops are down. Seems like, you know, he's becoming more of a focal point of the offense. Seems like, you know, the arrow is pointed in the right directions on several things. So, I just lean toward the fact that I think he's going to be the guy that they're going to target a lot harder. He's going to be the guy that they're going to go after first and foremost. And that probably means that Devondre Campbell ends up walking and they go in the draft. They sign some lower tier guys, but that's how they get around some of all of that. So we shall see. It should be an interesting free agent period. I know the Falcons will be busy because, you know, Super Bowl or bust time. No doubt about it. It's time to get cranked up and time to get ready for an offseason where we make this into another Super Bowl roster. All right, when we get back, sounds like the Big Ten, they had it right. But then, of course, the NCAA stepped in and screwed everything up. We'll give you that story next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuck, we show here with you on a Friday night. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Follow me on social media. It's at 929 The Game. At JMCH316. Station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. So before we get into our topic, got to say, I mean, they are pulling out all the stops. Boys the Men is singing right now. You watching this, Jahi, watching the Lakers thing going on. I mean, Usher's been out there singing the video tributes. You know, we talked earlier in the show about they have the T-shirts out there. Half the crowd has the number 24. The other half has number 8. They all come out, and all the players for the Lakers came out in Kobe warm-ups tonight. They have 2 seats that are empty tonight, where Kobe and his daughter Gianna, would sit. They have a jersey on each of those with some roses out there. So it's, it's quite an emotional scene. I mean, obviously, this is the first game that the Lakers have played at Staples Center since the tragic death of Kobe Bryant last weekend. for all of it. Boys to men, are they singing the national anthem right now? Yeah, they're doing the national anthem. So they'll be playing basketball here shortly, and just a surreal scene. Everybody outside of Staples Center, all of the things that have gone on inside, the tributes to him, like I said, all the video packages and everything like that. So, you know, obviously it's just something that just shook the entire sports world. And for so many of these guys, you know, more than just Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, what he meant to them as friends and mentors and, you know, as all of that, more than just his life and things like that. So, and if you saw on Instagram, his Kobe Bryant's wife, she had put out a statement, kind of her first kind of public statement that was out there, you know, as well. LeBron is out here, you know, showing LeBron. He's obviously rather emotional by all of this going on. So it's a pretty riveting scene when you think about it. I mean, just watching all of this, and you can imagine, you know, that fan base especially, you know, that fan base especially with the Lakers. They love their own. Man, they love their own. They love their Lakers out there. You know, the Dodgers and the Lakers are what moves the meter. And in L.A., man, the Lakers are number one without a doubt. Even when they're bad, the Lakers are still number one hot topic with the Dodgers second out there. So, you know, very emotional scene out there. If you're not getting a chance to watch it, you know, definitely catch some of the highlights. I'm sure they'll be replaying a lot of this on all the sports centers and everything else. I think LeBron's going to give a little speech. He's got some words to say for all of it. So lots of good stuff there. Very quickly here, there was a report out from CBS Sports that they got leaked to them that talks about how the athletic directors of the Big Ten this past season had submitted a piece of legislation that wasn't published or anything like that, but they said that this proposal, quote, the Big Ten quietly proposed legislation last year that would allow players in every sport to transfer once in their careers without sitting out a year in residence at their new institution. If adopted, the legislation would mark one of the biggest competitive changes in the history of collegiate sports. So basically what this is that everybody would have a one-time, every athlete would have a open, one-time free agent move available to them. And, of course, the NCAA, student-athletes, you know, they got involved and screwed frankly, screwed the whole thing up for everybody. But this is pretty radical to think about athletic directors that would allow for this to go on. Ward Manuel, the Michigan athletic director, said, I think it's the right thing to do. I don't know who's going to freak out and who's not going to freak out. Freak out in my Macho Man Savage voice. That doesn't come into my thinking about it. And he's right. I mean, this is where we have to get into, you know, collegiate athletics. And, you know, when you hear about something like this and you hear about Justin Fields, you know, lawyering up in his grievance, you know, to play immediately and things like that. You know, I think the NCAA is having to, you know, like it or not, see the writing on the wall with all of this. And it's not going to surprise me if very quickly here we're going to see the NCAA adopt across the board something like this. And there'll be plenty of pushback from coaches and, you know, not everybody's going to be in favor of it. But it's pretty remarkable about the Big Ten wanting to do something like that because they understand the wave of change in all of this. You have to be forward thinking. In all of this, we say on this show all the time, nonstop, okay? And I beat a dead horse with it because it's an important point, is that every entity within collegiate athletics has benefited. You want to talk about coaches. You want to talk about coaches in non-revenue sports. You want to talk about athletic directors, presidents, facilities, okay? Take your pick, uniforms. Take anything associated with collegiate athletics, and all of them have benefited from the prosperity, except the athletes themselves. Well, but they get a scholarship. Okay, miss me with all of that. Well, they get a stipend. Okay, that's just the design to cover the cost between what the scholarship pays and what the actual cost is when you add books and everything else into it. That's just the offset cost. That's why it varies school by school by school. The athletes themselves don't get any piece of the pie. We just talked about the story. Every SEC school just got a $45 million check from the SEC. Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, they all just got a $45 million check from the Southeastern Conference, on top of obviously what they make in ticket sales and concessions and everything else that they run, you know, at their athletic facilities and things like that. So the idea that there's not money there, and it's that, okay, that debate's been proven, you know, that debate's been proven to be that just there's no basis when you say something like that. There's plenty of money there. You know, schools have tons of cash, and most of them try to operate, you know, I mean, the NCAA itself operates as a nonprofit organization. Why? You know, they can't hold on to money in the coffers, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons, you know, for it, but they flush lots of cash through on everything, even to where they have to give some money back to the schools because, again, to be a 501c3 nonprofit, that's what you have to do is you have to make the books look completely right. So, you know, it's unfortunate that the Big Ten couldn't get this passed and that the NCAA stuck its nose in like it usually does and is afraid to actually embrace change. They only take on change when you beat them over the head with a baseball bat that's got nails in it. You know, that's about the only time when the NCAA decides that, okay, now is the time. When everybody else has figured it out, now they figure it out at the back end of all of it. So good for the Big Ten. I'm not going to be surprised if this doesn't start to get some nationwide traction, especially now that this story has been leaked out there. By the way, just watching LeBron out there, you can see how emotional LeBron was in his speech and the message that he gave. I didn't hear what he said, obviously, but you could tell. Very emotional time for LeBron. Remember, they're the number one seed right now in the West, in the Western Conference. They're the number one seed out West right now, and some people think that they are going to go on a big roll and you know, get it, you know, really get this thing cranked up, and you know, it's a whole new motivation for this team. You know, I mean, a whole new vision that this team has that they want to be great and win this thing for Kobe out there. So. Good stuff. Like I said, try to catch some of the highlights of everything that went on at the Staples Center tonight. All right, when we get back, it's going to be time to get into the Love TKO, time to wrap things up. We'll hand off to some radio replay up next. Chuck Reed in the Key Studios, back in a few minutes. Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.